following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
Since March 2007, one online audio production group has pushed the boundaries.
Broken Sea Audio Productions presents Maudlin.
It's Sounding Board. Audio drama with Lumpy Bits.
You have been listening to Jake Sanson.
Broken Sea Audio Productions presents
My Name is Feedback, and these are my stories.
Last time on Gaia's Voyages.
This is the Broken Sea Audio production of Escape from New York.
OTR Swagcast.
Doctor Who, starring Mark Kalita as the Doctor.
BrokenSea.com. New audio every Thursday.
Last day. Capricorn 15s. Year of the City, 2274. Carousel begins.
Runner, stop!
A friend of mine went on carousel tonight. Now he's gone.
Logan 5, approach and identify.
Renew!
Well, is this the sanctuary you were so desperate to find? I hope you're satisfied.
Logan's Run by Broken Sea Audio. Based on the 1976 film, this audio dramatization of the classic novel by William F. Nolan and George Clayton Johnson brings to life this terrifying tale of a dystopic future in a whole new way. Only at BrokenSea.com.
And now, it's time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swagcast.
Welcome back to the Swagcast. Tonight we're going to focus on a screen legend. Yes, Humphrey Bogart. Bold Ventures, starring Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart. And here's a little info about Bold Venture. Bold Venture was a radio drama made back in 1951 through 52, syndicated, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. The show's main characters consisted of a salty sea dog named Slate Shannon, Humphrey Bogart, who owns a Cuban hotel sheltering an assortment of treasure hunters, revolutionaries, and other shady characters. With his sidekick and ward, the sultry Sailor Duval, Lauren Bacall, tagging along, he encounters modern-day pirates and other tough situations while navigating the waters around Havana. Aboard his boat, the Bold Venture, Slate and Sailor experience adventure, intrigue, mystery, and romance in the sultry settings of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. And as far as action and violence and just tension between two romantic leads, this is your show. And I must say, Bold Venture is stunning, along with Bury Your Dead in Arizona, as well as more of the Avengers. Hope you enjoy.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture.
Once again, the magic
stage names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Take the wheel, sailor. Steady as she goes.
What's the matter? You tired? Want to get some sleep?
I'll sleep in Havana. Right now, I want to stand back and admire those jeans you bought in Key West.
You twisted my arm. Like them?
I don't know. I kind of have my heart set on something with fringe, something frilly and feminine.
Well, they've got copper rivets. How frilly can you get?
I don't know about you, sailor. You begged me for a week to take you on a shopping trip. You finally wheedled me into it.
Wheedle, he says. I'd darn your socks, do KP. If we had a lawn, you'd have had me mowing it. So what's wheedle?
Oh, I made you earn your money. What do you do with it? Buy a pair of cowboy pants.
You picked them out yourself. You said they did something for me.
They do, sailor. They do. And for me, too. They... Hey, wait a minute. Not searchlight.
Because you want me to walk up and down for you? So you can admire me some more?
Now, there's something out there on the water drifting through the mist. Turn it on, sailor.
Aye, aye.
Swing it over to starboard. Yeah. It's a lifeboat just drifting.
People in it, Slate. They look... They're lying there huddled in a heap.
Pull up alongside, sailor, quick. Bring her in close. Ahoy! Ahoy!
They can't answer you, Slate. They're...
Yeah. Hold her tight, sailor. I'm going to board her. Steady. Closer. A little closer. Okay, cut your motors.
What's wrong, Slate? What's the matter?
Four men, machine gun, dead.
Slate, come back.
Whoever did it tried to sink him. Boat's riddled, too. Look at those rips in her topside. Stuffed up with bloody pieces of clothes. Rags. One of them must have lived a little while.
Who does things like that?
Here's a packet of hardtack lying here. Stenciled Mary Kay. Throw me a line, sailor. We just bought ourselves a funeral.
Getson?
Oh, good morning, Buck. Grab yourself a chair. You got something for me, Buck?
$105 bills, 50 $10 bills, new, crisp, and American. Here.
Hold on to the dough till we get outside.
In the bank, when I changed the money into clean bills, the clerk asked me how I came by such filthy currency.
And you put a finger to your trim mustache and told him what?
That I was a rent collector in the barrio. I can arrange for another shipment very shortly.
And I can use some more money.
The simplicity of it. Refugees who get somehow into Cuba, then want to sneak into the States at $500 per sneak. Load them on the Mary Kay, sail the boat in circles for a few hours, tell the people that we are near Key West, put them in a lifeboat, shoot them, sing the lifeboat. No trace back to us, the American phrase is it not?
No trace back. It'll do. Take your places in line, senor, senorita. There are many who have priority over you.
Now look, Chico, I told you the harbor police sent us over.
Once around you, senor Shannon, all these people who wait have tried to seduce from me a hearing with the port authority. Each with his own feeble excuse. They sit, they wait. You will do the same.
Get off your fat desk, Chico. Maybe you can convince easier. Off your...
Put him down, Slate. I've got a better way.
This matter of manhandling an official... However, thank you for your kindness, senorita.
We found a lifeboat drifting in the Caribbean. With four dead men in it.
I pity for your limpid eyes to gaze upon such things.
And the packet marked Mary Kay?
The Mary Kay. You saw this? You are proof positive?
Better than that. We'll accept no substitutes. Not even for you, Chico. Get us to your boss.
Of course, naturally. One moment. Immediately.
See how easy it is, Slate?
Yeah. I wish I had limp eyes.
Limp it.
I'll put it in your diary, sailor, how a blown-up little man once said to you.
Please to go in, you both. Senor Estrella will speak to you of your mother.
Troika, sailor, he did peachy.
It might spoil him for somebody else. Come on.
Senor Buck, here is Alfredo Vincenti. Listen well, senor. Two are here, Shannon and Duval. They are heavy with knowledge of the Mary Kay. Excelente. And for me, $100 will be a joy. It is of no moment to me what you do to them. Forever thank you, Senor Buck.
What you tell me is most interesting, Senor Shannon.
Four dead men in a boat, Senor, shot to death.
Huh? Interesting.
When I turned the boat over to the harbor police, I told them I thought the men had been machine gunned to death. They agreed.
Interesting.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty interesting. Four dead men, machine gunned, drifting around in the middle of the ocean. Let's go, Slate. We're boring the man.
Please, senorita.
The lady's right. What do we have to do to get a rise out of you?
Just tell me about this small carton here.
The hardtack?
The hardtack, senor. I mean the words printed on the carton.
The Mary Kay? Look, how much do you have to explain to the Port Authority? The Mary Kay is the name of a boat.
Named the Mary Kay.
I know. Now I will tell you something. 1 year ago, the Mary Kay leave Havana for Hanoi. She picked up a load of unbleached linen at San Domingo. And what I'm going to tell you next, senor, senorita, this will be interesting.
I doubt it, but go ahead.
The Mary Kay has not been heard of since.
Why don't you try to get some rest, Slade? You haven't slept since we left Key West.
That eats me. It eats me why four men are machine gunned in an open boat. After burning the sun, left to the seagulls.
Don't think about it anymore. We've done all we can do.
Four guys with their mouths open and a scream, screaming across an empty sea. Nobody to hear them.
The authorities have got it, Slate. Let them keep it. Belongs to them.
Yeah. It interests them. Isn't that what the man said? That it interested him?
That was just his way of saying it bothered him. Four dead men off a boat that hasn't been heard of in a year. There aren't many words for that.
Could have shed an official tear, had a catch in his throat. Whatever is the standard operating emotion when four men die who didn't want to die.
It's in their hands, Slate. Don't try to take it away from them. It might hurt you more.
I've seen men dead like that. In a war. Never on a tropical sea. That's for living like you dreamed. For reaching out your hand.
I know. It's for what I've got. Well, what can I do, Slate, to wash that look out of your eyes?
Hey, the door to my office is closed, Buster. It's cricket here to knock first.
I'm certain you will forgive me, because tragedy does not wait to knock upon the door.
We've got our own troubles, mister. Settle yours somewhere else.
This thing of the Mary Kay has brought anguish to all of us, has it not, Miss Alice?
What do you know about the Mary Kay?
Only that 6 months ago, my brother booked passage on her. He was never seen again.
That's impossible. The Mary Kay was reported lost at sea a year ago.
This is not so. 6 months ago, my brother boarded her.
Let's take her to the cops. Things like this interest them, they tell me.
Please, hear me out. My brother was a refugee, illegally in this country, trying to gain entry into the States illegally, under Mary Kay. I am in all ways like my brother.
Now we know why you can't go to the police. That leaves...
The question of why I am here. To take you to a man who knows everything of the Mary Kay. To ask you to plead with him for a morsel about my brother. To ask him if my brother's destiny was similar to the man whom you found.
Huh? How'd you know about that?
In the barrio, in the place of the lost and the not wanted, word comes to us. You scavenge for it. You will come with me to the Cafe Pollo, where he is. Both of you?
Just me. I'll need her to come back to.
My friend will be delighted to see you, Mr. Shannon.
I'm happy for your friend. You still haven't told me who he is.
His own identification he will reveal. I am not at liberty. Please, in here. He is here, my captain.
The captain of what?
Captain Dana. Sit down, Shannon.
Oh, thanks. You're going to tell me about the Mary Kay?
Sure. I'll pour your coffee for you, Shannon. You like coffee?
I could use some. Ah, that's fine coffee.
Oh, I once sailed aboard up the Orinoco.
Brought all the coffee beans back with me, the boat would hold.
My captain is a gentleman of exquisite taste.
You said you sailed a boat. Your own?
My own. A schooner.
Named the Mary Kay?
Uh-huh. Isn't that delightful?
Oh. Mary Kay. Yeah, open a window. You. Hey, I'm talking to you. Open it.
Something wrong, Mr. Shannon?
Stuffy. Let's see. What about the Mary Kay, Captain? Tell me.
You found a boat, Shannon. That boat was off my ship.
It couldn't be. Mary Kay. I've heard from for a year. Sunk, probably.
Not sunk. She's lying in a cove down the coast.
What? Huh?
You're beginning to look like a man who hasn't had it too easy, Shannon.
Huh? Something in that coffee.
Dope me. Don't fight it, Shannon.
Gotta get out of here. Here. Got it.
Must not let him, Captain.
Don't worry about it. What Shannon needs is a nice sea air.
My captain is so understanding.
Now, back to Bold Venture. Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Lady Sailor, she go on buying spree to get for herself some finery. She pose and she strut, then she cry in her throat, for in the ocean she are four dead in a boat. She cried to Mr. Slate, what do they there? These dead men sailing in the cold, cold air. Mr. Slate, he say, we ask authority, for such things are no man's destiny.
That's just about the way he said it, King.
I know how Mr. Slate feel inside about such things. That's why I try to give it song.
You're good, King. You ought to go into the business.
The business of explaining people to themselves? I do not own a doctor's couch. All I have in the world is a guitar and a calypso song.
And Slate and me.
Yes, and Mr. Slate and Lady Sailor. But one of you is now missing.
That man was taking him to the Cafe Pollo. He said that...
I know the Cafe Pollo.
Oh, what about it, King?
Only that if men do not return from it in a proper interval of time, they should be called for.
You're telling me to...
To go find Mr. Slate, to bring him back.
Yeah. The joint doesn't run so good without him, does it? Keep a light in the window for us, King.
You are looking for something, Miss Duvall? Refreshment, perhaps?
A Slate. Where is he?
It is a world of coincidences, my Miss Duvall.
I'll take it up with you later. Right now, all I want is Slate.
A world of coincidences, because I was about to go looking for you.
So I saved your trolley fare. That wins me a prize. Slate Shannon.
A woman like you. Any man in the world would grovel at your feet, and all you want is...
Because he doesn't grovel. Slate came here with you because you wanted help about your brother on the Mary Kay. When he left here, did he tell you where he was going?
No. But I will take you to him.
I'll find him myself.
I will take you to him, Mr. Duvall. This gun in my coat pocket says you cannot deny me this moment.
Huh?
This gun.
Oh, that's what I like about you. You're so helpless. Lead on, gun.
How do you feel, Shannon? Is the air kissing your back with us?
How'd you put in that coffee?
Recipe my galley cook taught me.
Good, huh? I had better in Malaya. They laid me up for 3 days. They thought I was dead.
Don't get eager, Shannon. This time, you'll be dead for real.
From the lousy coffee?
From bullets from this Tommy gun.
Like what you did to the four men I found in your lifeboat, huh?
Just like that.
Only this time nobody finds anything. You want me to ask you why? All right. See, I'm asking why. Good question. Because when you found that lifeboat, found it was off the Mary Kay, you became a refugee. Like those other people at the other end of this boat, just like that. Except they pay me $500 a head to die. You get yours for nothing. Free. They think they're going to America. You can't do that to those people. They've scraped, they've begged, they've cried against alley walls. What happened to you, Dana? And what slime did you get sick? Now, I'm generous. I'm going to take these poor hulks aboard the Mary Kay, give them a break. Sail them around a little. Let them get a sniff at what they've been dreaming about. Listen to me, you people. They'll kill you. You'll never get what you want. You're talked out of turn, Shannon. Get back, you filth. Get back. You want to see the Mary Kay, don't you? That's good. Just be nice little refugees and Captain Dane will find your home.
Down those steps, into the hold.
After you.
I said down those steps.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry about that entrance. I was pushed.
Lady, of these four of us, the rest, they do not understand your speech. Only I. The other one, the one in the corner, speaks nothing.
What are you doing here?
Nearing the end of a dream. They're going to America.
You mean you're entering the States illegally?
And for the same $500 which you have paid. Sit down with us and...
One of your friends sounds like he's getting paradise the hard way.
The one in the corner?
Oh my head. Where am I?
Slate, this is Sailor. What happened to you?
Sailor, how did you get here?
If I'd have known that man was taking me to you, I'd have gone quietly. He wouldn't have needed a gun.
What man?
Our boy who took you to the Cafe Pollo.
You followed me, huh? You know what you got yourself into?
I know.
This is the Mary Kay. It's a phantom ship. Lives in this rotting cove. Sails to sea with people without passports. It gives them to the sea. Dead.
Those people are refugees? Those four over there watching us?
Yeah. The only difference is we get to ride free.
You people down there, we're setting sail. Just relax. It'll take no time at all.
It's going to be tough, Sailor. Getting them to believe us. They've been promising America to themselves for who knows how long.
You've got to make them understand. That one, Slate, the tall man in the leather jacket. He's the only one who speaks English.
I'll try. You, mister.
Laszlo Panik.
Slate Shannon. Mr. Val tells me you speak English.
Poorly.
You got an idea you're going to America. You're wrong.
What are you saying?
The men who sail this boat are lying to you. They've taken your money. They're going to load you in a boat. They're going to spray you with machine gun bullets.
Please, slowly.
They're going to kill all of us and dump us into the ocean.
We go to America.
You'll never see it, Vanek.
A jest. A trick.
Call it anything you like, mister. You don't believe what I'm telling you? Ducks. You, me, your friends, Mr. Val. Dead ones.
There's sincerity in your face. However, we cannot turn aside a dream for that.
Look. Listen to me. Yesterday, four men were picked up at sea. They were in a small boat.
I have knowledge of this from the newspaper.
That boat was off this schooner.
You're lying.
Off this boat. The Mary Kay. By the time I get you to believe it, it'll be too late. I need your help.
So close to America.
You've never been further away.
He would kill you if you lied.
I'd expect you to.
Speak some more to me.
In a little while, that door up there will open. A man will come through. He'll probably have a Tommy gun.
Good people, lucky people, stand up. On your feet. Perhaps you did not understand me. I shall repeat myself.
Just tell us once what you're doing with that Tommy gun in your hands.
Keep your lovely lips shut, Mr. Duvall.
A Tommy gun makes you a big man, doesn't it, Buck? Why don't you answer the lady?
Just stand aside, Shannon. I'm talking to these people. I am their friend. They tell us they are our friends. They tell us you are not. They tell us you wish to kill us.
Up those steps. Tell the others quickly.
Just quick enough.
You got a good aim, sailor. He's not going to make much noise with your handkerchief in his mouth.
I'm telling him not to chew it into shreds. It's the only one I got with my initials on it.
Now what, Mr. Shannon?
Now pick up that gun.
Yes. And now?
We're going on deck. You and your people will take care of the crew.
And you?
I want Dana all to myself.
And what do I do?
Up on deck, there's going to be a Tommy gun, sailor. It sprays bullets. You stay here. Find something heavy and amuse Bach with it.
You say so. Bucky, old boy, it's just you and me. If you blink an eyelash, I'm going to let you have it right where you think.
That's my sailor. Come on, Vanek. There's the wheel shelter, Vanek. There's a man up forward. You're on your own.
Good luck, Mr. Shannon.
Yeah. That you, Buck? They loaded? No, they're not loaded.
Shannon. Well, well.
Now, who's going to be sorry for who?
Now, tell me what happened.
That happened. They're throwing your crew into the ocean, my captain. Before you try to find the gun, try this first.
I like it better. It's right any way you want.
Yeah, I'll pass it on. Your trip's over, Captain.
The boat's in our hands, Mr. Shannon.
We'll head her back to Havana.
No. This we cannot do. We have come too far to turn back. You will take the power launch and return to Havana. We will take our chances.
I'll pick you up. You'll never make it.
We will take our chances.
Okay. Suit yourself. How'd you make out, sailor?
3 hits, no errors. How about you?
I'll tell you about it on the way home.
Well, Slade?
Well, what?
I've been standing in front of you for 10 minutes at parade rest. Haven't you noticed anything?
Let me look. Oh, you're wearing fingernail polish.
Notice anything else?
Shoes with heels.
That's right. Keep trying.
Oh. Well, you mean the dress. I didn't notice.
If you wore one, I'd notice.
Well, you've seen one dress, you've seen them all, I always say.
Oh, is that what you always say? I always say...
Come here. Why do you always talk so much?
A girl likes to call attention to... yourself. Why do I always talk so much?
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest bold venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Now, from the makers of Coldwater Omo, John Steed was sure the answer to the case could only be found by following up on the clue of the empty envelopes. This had taken him, later that day, to the training college of the Anastasia Nurses Academy. Steed had managed to get into the building all right. He started his investigations from the matron's office, and it was there that he'd heard the strange sound of typing.
Shorthand typing? A nurse's training college? And in the evening?
Steed opened another door and found himself staring at rows of girls typing furiously. They were addressing envelopes and throwing them into delivery baskets. Steed closed the door.
Curiouser and curiouser. Yes, like Alice in Wonderland. I wonder what matron Alice can tell us.
Thank you.
the Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, the Avengers. Episode 4 of this story, in which John Steed, still unable to find Mrs. Peel and baffled by the evidence to hand, nevertheless believes a few fresh clues are not to be sneezed at. John Steed, placing his umbrella and bowler on the hat stand in Matron's office, slipped on a special pair of gloves. He decided to risk turning on the light on the desk and started to make a thorough search of the room.
Telephone directories. Hundreds of them. New York, Barcelona, San Francisco, Adelaide. All over the world. Files. Correspondence to be answered. Strange, there's nothing medical. What's this? From Colonel Morris Timothy, retired. Walsingham House. Dear Matron Alice, glad to know our plans are going ahead without a hitch. Keep up the good work. Victory, final victory. That is the aim, and it lies just ahead. Sincerely, Morris Timothy, Colonel retired. Colonel Morris Timothy. Now, I've heard that name somewhere before. And still not a clue about Mrs. Peel. Where the devil has she got herself to?
Mrs. Peel, at that moment, was asking herself very much the same question. She knew she was in some sort of cell. It contained a bed on which she was lying, feeling rather sick. There were also several sacks leaning against the walls. As Emma Peel sat up holding her head, the heavy door was unlocked and swung open. The man called Priest entered.
Ah, so you've come round. Got a tiny headache, have we?
Oh, no. We're just a tiny bit homesick.
Tell me a little more about home. Where is it, and who are you working for?
I'm not working for anyone.
Oh, come now, you must see that we mean business. There are ways.
I can't.
Now, that won't do any good.
No, but this might.
Mrs. Peel was really doing quite well, but unfortunately, Dexter appeared in the door of the cell. He held two items. In his left hand, a straitjacket. In his right, a rather ugly cosh.
Thank you, Dexter. Yes, if you want to play games, little lady, then we must give you a copy of the rules. A straitjacket, Dexter, and then find Matron. She has work to do. This girl has got to be made to talk.
John Steed, meanwhile, had gone for a drive. Mother wasn't too pleased to see him. It was getting late, and there was still other work to be done.
Well, what is it this time, Steve?
What have we got on Timothy?
Oh, Steed.
Yes, Mother?
How long have you been in the department?
Oh, I don't know, quite a few years, I suppose.
Then you must know by now that we don't fire personnel under their Christian names.
This is a surname. Colonel Morris Timothy, retired of Walsingham House.
He's clean.
You sure?
It's my job to be sure. Morris Timothy, Indian Army, served in two wars, the two world wars, that is. Not just frontier stuff. Wealthy, something of a philanthropist, a bit kinky. Endows various worthy causes, including...
Including the Anastasia Academy?
Yes.
Ah. I think I'd better pay Colonel Timothy a visit.
Any news of Mrs. Peel?
Not yet.
I'm worried, but you know what they say. No news is good news.
Yes. Good night, Mother.
Walsingham House, residence of Colonel Timothy, retired, was large, old, and rambling. The sort of house that could have been converted into a private nursing home. Steed rang the bell, and receiving no answer, tried the door. To his surprise, it opened. The hall, marble-floored and richly paneled, was furnished with antiques. Three large crates struck an incongruous note. Steed lifted the top of one of them with his umbrella.
Full of handkerchiefs. And the next, paper tissues.
Curiosity, sir, was responsible for the demise of the cat.
Not worry, I have 8 lives left.
My advice would be not to throw them away too easily.
But cats don't listen to advice. They walk alone.
That's why so many of them get lost, sir. Have the goodness to remove your coat and roll up your shirt sleeves.
What? Fisticuffs?
Antibiotic injection. Colonel's orders. No visitor allowed in without it. You are a visitor.
A Steed. Now, I phoned. Perhaps I should have also brought my health certificate.
Wouldn't have been of any use, sir. The Colonel insists on his own form of protection.
Against what?
Other people's germs. You see, he has enough of his own to contend with.
Infection prone, eh?
Ever since he came back from Mandea, no resistance to Western bacteria. This won't hurt, sir. Now.
You handled that like a connoisseur.
Practice makes perfect. Colonel Timothy will see you now. This way, Mr. Steed. Mr. Steed, sir.
Come in, Steed, come in. You know that the only creatures who get colds are human beings and chimpanzees.
Amazing.
Excuse me. Kettle's boiling. Got to have me inhalation, you know.
Can I assist?
Better not get too near. Pour the boiling water into that bowl, there's a good fellow. Thank you. Now the crystals. That's better. Towel over the head. Only take a minute. You know, there's a lesson to be learned from all this.
I beg your pardon?
A lesson to be learned from the chimpanzees.
Oh, safer to walk on all fours.
No. The more civilized you are, the more susceptible.
Disease of the sophisticated.
Got it in one. It's yes? It's so good. Ever thought of going to Malaya?
Well, I...
Don't. Dreadful place. Have a look at that.
Early Etruscan.
Not the container. It's what it's got inside. Common cold virus. Preserved at -16°C in dry ice.
That's so. Should I have known?
What was it you wanted to speak to me about?
My card.
Steed Foundation. Never heard of it.
Well, nothing to be ashamed of. I assume that you've never had a serious illness in Mozambique.
You must be clairvoyant.
We've endowed 3 hospitals there. Now we're founding a nurses' training college to start them. And as you have helped endow the Anesthesia Academy...
You want my advice?
Please.
My advice is don't. More trouble than they're worth.
But the Anesthesia Academy...
Never go near a place boring, excruciatingly boring. Now, if you want to see really something interesting, let me show you over the rest of the place.
That's you.
What? Yes. Well, this way.
The Colonel led the way from the room down some steps and, pushing open steel doors, revealed that the rest of the house was a form of nursing home.
3 C's. Do they stand for competence, comfort, and compassion?
What? No. That's the other dreary place we were talking about. Cold Cure Clinic. Yes, my pet project. Decided if the medical profession couldn't cure my cold, then I'd do it myself. Yes, not much luck so far. Well, like to look around.
Well, there's nothing I should like better.
These things take time, you know. Glover!
Coming.
Now, Dr. Glover, my chief of research. Frank, this is Mr. Steed of the Steed Foundation.
Good evening. Sounds impressive, Mr. Steed. Well, only if one comes from Mozambique.
Steed branches out. Thought we might put him in the picture. Show him the shop window, as it were.
Oh, a prospective helper. Good. This way, Mr. Steed. Tell me, what are all these small rooms leading off the corridors for?
Guinea pig quarters. Student volunteers. We give them artificially induced colds and then house them in pairs so that we can compare their reactions.
How are the colds induced? Well, first we give them a session in the deep freeze room. Perhaps you'd like to see it. Anyway.
Good evening, Doctor.
Evening, nurse. Evening. Yes.
Steed didn't react, but he did notice that the badge on the nurse's uniform read Anastasia Academy.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers. Brought to you by the makers of Cold Water Omo. The Avengers. Donald Monat as John Steed and Diane Appleby as Emma Peel is adapted and directed by Dennis Faubig and produced by David Gooden.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture. Again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Where are you, Slate?
Stop yelling in my ear. I'm right beside you. Did you find the candles?
Where you told me, in the pantry under C. I knocked over the Brussels sprouts under B to get them.
Serves you right. I told you to put the Brussels sprouts under S. Hold still till I light them. Yeah, that's a little better.
All the lines are down, huh?
Telephone is in. That's about all.
Oh, there goes that hotel sign again. It's always falling down.
Yeah, ever since the last time you sang in the shower.
I'll get it. Quickly, come on in. Out there, it's wet. Come in so I can close the door. You're going to have to register by candlelight, miss. The management isn't trying to be romantic. It's just that the electricity is out.
Who are you? Where is this?
What's the matter with you?
Tell me where.
Slate. Slate, come here. Look at her, Slate.
What do you think I'm doing?
Hold your candle up to her.
Yeah. Tell me when my hand catches on fire. Nice rain we're having, isn't it, miss?
Don't come near me. Don't come near me.
Slate, watch her. She's got a gun.
Hey, take it easy. You little fool, drop that gun.
Your hands, take them off.
Drop it, I said. Okay, sis. You made a good entrance. Now tell me why you did. Well, me or the cops?
Cut it out, Slate. Can't you see she's sick? We'd better get a doctor.
When a girl roams around in a storm with a gun, she needs a cop.
This time we'll do it my way. We'll get a doctor.
Mr. Bentley! Let me in! Mr. Bentley!
What's the matter, Amy? Storm make you edgy? Make you want to go prowling?
Jude, it's gone.
Hey, get in here. Hey, You're fooling me about Judith being gone, ain't you? You know you don't need no crazy excuse like that to come talk to me any time of the day or night. You're fooling, huh?
No. I looked all over the main house, in every room, every place she could hide. She just disappeared.
And you're her nurse, ain't you, Amy? You supposed to watch over my fiancé, Miss Judith, like she was a crawling baby.
I must have fallen asleep. We'll find her. All we have to do is call the police. Tell them that she's sick.
And let Miss Judith cry and moan and wail on the shoulder, spill out what we've been trying to do to her for the past year.
Well, they won't believe her. It'll just prove she's unbalanced. She's sick in her mind.
Just a little bit longer, a little bit. And I'd have had control of her sugar plantation, her money, the whole shebang. Me, just an ordinary boy from the country with a knack for managing. And you fell asleep.
I'll find her for you. You'll see. I'll find her.
Sure you will.
And they'll put her away. It'll be just you and me. Just the way you want it, the way you planned.
You sure fancy yourself, don't you, Amy? John Bentley speaking.
This is Slate Shannon. The girl came into my place a while ago.
You're lucky, mister. I just lost one.
Maybe this one belongs to you, then. Judith Harper. This phone number, Eldorado 13...
You got acquainted fast, mister.
We found it in her purse. She wandered in here sick with a gun, tried to shoot me. We got a doctor. If she's yours, maybe you better come and get her.
Sure thing, mister. Just tell me where.
Shannon's place on the waterfront.
I'll send her nurse, mister. Because my Miss Judith is sicker than you know.
Someone found her.
She's at Shannon's place on the waterfront. You're so lucky, Amy. You just don't know how lucky you are.
John, I...
Get her. Bring her back to me. I don't care how. Just bring her back.
I have talked to the young lady, senor, senorita.
How is she, doctor?
Buena, very good. Quiet. She is tip-top.
That medical talk confuses me. An hour ago, that girl was ready to fall on her face.
A few seconds before that, she was ready to shoot me.
I don't blame her. Then you were her mortal enemy.
I always thought I looked pretty rakish by candlelight.
I meant to talk to you about that, Slade.
Hear me, senor. This girl is pursued by a fear of going insane. I have the fragments of the story.
And we want to hear it. Beautiful girl like that, sick, terrified.
He's trying to say he wants to help, doctor.
And the young lady needs whatever help. Now that she has told me of herself, it is my guess she will recover quickly.
Recover from what?
I will not bore you with technical phrases. This girl is frightened of what is at home. She must not be sent back there.
Now, wait a minute, doctor. I can't take care of her. I got enough with this one.
Perhaps.
Look, doc, if you think I'm going to fade out of the picture on account of her, you've got a silly little cerebellum. Cerebellum, doc. I said it, and I'm glad.
I am suggesting merely a place of rest. I know of one.
Yeah, so do I. On Marino Key, there's a place there, kind of a hotel. People go there when they feel they've been in the world too much or two. Now, wait a minute. What can I do for you?
Where is she? Where's Judith Harper?
Who are you?
I'm a nurse. Where's Judith?
She's in that room. Don't worry about it. The doctor said she'd be all right.
I don't care what the doctor said. I want to see her.
All right. Hello, Judith. Someone wants to see you.
Get her out of here. Get her out.
I'll teach you to talk to me like that. To me.
Hey, have you gone out of your mind? Leave her alone.
Get out of here, you. I said get...
You're all through saying. Let's go.
Fool.
I said we're leaving. See, we just did.
You don't know what you're doing.
And you don't know what's happening to you. You're getting thrown out of a hotel. Good night, nurse.
We about ready to shove off, Slate?
Just about. Give me a hand with this line.
Aye, aye. Got it.
How's the girl?
She's asleep below. I tucked her in.
Well, I told you I'd take care of that.
And that's why I tucked her in.
I don't know about you, sailor. Sometimes I get the feeling you're possessive.
She shot at you once because you wanted to touch her.
Well, she was out of her mind. Besides, she missed.
But I'm not, and I wouldn't miss. And for the same reason.
Yeah, that's what I said. You tucked her in good like I told you, huh?
Soothed her fevered brow, hummed a lullaby, mentioned your name. Can we go now?
Yeah. Take the wheel, sailor. I'm going to go below to check on a few...
Hey! Hey, you, mister! Hold it up a minute!
Sorry, Buster, we're...
Hey!
The reason I yelled hold it up is you may not be going no place. I thought I'd tell you. You told me. Now you can get off the boat.
You're a cute one, Mr. Shannon. You throw Miss Judith's nurse away from her.
Now you're going to throw me off the boat.
That's my slate. He ain't partial to no one, never.
I told you on the phone, Shannon. Miss Judith is sick. She goes home with me where she belongs. Where she gets healed by my love.
The doctor says she...
Pardon me for interrupting, lady. But what's a doctor say against the opinion of my big fist?
You've got a point there, Buster.
Maybe I can dull it for you. Yeah. You're just crying for it, ain't you, Shannon?
Your fist wasn't big enough.
Get off, hey!
A big boy like you.
You didn't ask him if he could swim, Slate.
He'll learn. Let's go to Marino Key, sailor. Comfortable, Judith?
Yes. So wonderful here, sitting on the deck. The ocean and the air.
There isn't much that combination can't cure.
I want to apologize to you, Mr. Shannon.
But taking a shot at me, forget it. If it didn't happen at least once a week.
Hey, sailor, what's the matter with you? You let it fall into the trough.
Look to starboard, Slate. Over there, those clouds.
Oh, yeah. Black squall. Better get below, Judith.
I don't mind. I like the rain.
Here it comes, Slate. Looks like a real one.
Come on, Judith, below.
Steady as she goes, sailor.
She's okay, Slate. I just fixed her something hot to drink.
A nice fresh cure we're giving her.
You know, I think she's liking it. She... Hey, Slate, what's happening? Look at the compass.
Your prying eye. Yeah, sailor, the rudder's broke. I think we hit a slab of driftwood.
You mean we've been drifting all this time?
The last 15 minutes. Now look ahead, sailor.
Lights?
Uh-huh. If this current holds, we'll get through the channel between them.
Where are we?
Someplace in Marino Key. Only these lights aren't marked on the chart. I don't know who we can thank for them.
Maybe we'll find out. Watch that tide rip.
You all right, sailor?
What happened?
As far as I can make out, we're aground on a reef.
But the lights...
They put us there. Better go see about Judith. Tell her to get comfortable all over again. I got an idea. We're going to stay here for a while. Tide's out now. We can walk to shore along this reef. Think you can make it all right, Judith?
I think so. I feel wonderful.
I could carry you.
You heard her. She feels wonderful.
Here, Judith. I'll give you a hand over the side.
Uh-huh. What about me?
Just don't rip your jeans. You left your other pair home.
That's about me.
We're lucky the storm only lasted the night. If it had gone on any longer, the Bold Venture would have been beaten to death against those rocks.
You check her, Slate?
Yeah, just a few scars. All we need is a new propeller and a new rudder. Maybe I can bite one out of that palm tree.
Why not just ask the man for one?
Huh?
The man standing underneath the palm tree, waving hello to us. I'll bet he's got lots of used propellers.
Welcome. Welcome. Thrice welcome to my island.
Look, you, whoever you are.
Charles Dane is whoever I am. And whoever you are... I am delighted the sharks did not smell you out during the night.
You shill for sharks?
Only for myself, Dylan. Now you may kiss the sands of my island, for you have found a refuge.
Well, that's good, because...
Because it's a refuge you will never want to leave. Welcome.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
You see, dear ones, all the delicacies of civilization without its penalties.
These rare books, these exquisite paintings, the gossamer objects of art. My last guests admired them deeply.
All loot from shipwrecks you arranged with those lights, Charlie.
Not loot, dear one. Let us say, rather, the spoils of fortune. These perfumes, Mr. Val, a fragile twilight fragrance at your disposal during your stay.
I like the one you're wearing, Charlie.
You have discerning taste. We shall get along famously, we two. And this radio. I hope it has music that becomes you, Mr. Val.
What do you think, Charlie? Does it become me?
A tawdry substitute, dear one. Your music should be of impassioned space, of fiery gardens, of...
Easy, boy, easy. Heel, boy.
Quite right. I mustn't overdo you. Yes, what is it, brother? You may come whisper in my ear. Thank you, Prado. Prado informs me that Miss Harper is quite comfortable in the guest room and that your boat has been floated and tied up at my private pier.
Which brings us to the question of...
Please, Mr. Shannon, I care to hear this.
Senorita Judith Harper, owner of the vast sugar plantation on the outskirts of Havana, has disappeared. Any knowledge of her whereabouts is to be communicated to her plantation manager, Senor John Bentley.
Mr. Shannon, my deepest bow to you. You are a kindred soul. I pirate ships. You?
Judith's a sick girl. We were taking her to Merino Key so she could rest, so she could get well. If she goes back, she'll have a relapse. She'll...
You can stop now, Spade. Charlie's not listening.
Come, Mr. Shannon. I want to show you a thing. Come.
Don't go away, sailor.
The thing. A shortwave radio transmitter. My contact with the other lonely souls of this world.
You're going to get word to Bentley after what we told you?
Precisely. I believe Bentley should be with us for the game.
Oh, what game?
A precious game. A delightful game. A game that could possibly key you.
Mr. Shannon! Hello! Hi, Mr. Shannon. I've been trying to attract your attention.
Well, to be honest with you, Charlie, I was hoping you'd never make it.
Have I done anything to affront you?
Now, let's put it this way. How am I going to get this propeller repaired? And how long do we have to stay on this island?
And I shall answer you. Of the propeller? Well, some time ago, there was an almost identical storm such as this. And an almost identical boat as yours pounded itself against the identical reef.
Oh, is the name of that boat the Capri?
The identical name.
Reported missing in a squall 3 months ago. Never heard from. What happened to the men on that boat?
Which brings us to the second question. When shall you leave here? Never, I'm afraid.
Now look, friend, I asked you a civil question. So I want a nice, clear answer.
Please to note. You're soiling my linens, Mr. Shannon.
And please to note.
Well done, Prado. Prado watches over me, Mr. Shannon. And when you touch me, his hackles rise. And if you will, sir, you might cast a glance out there, seaward.
Another boat.
In haste to answer my message to Havana. Oh, have no fear. The tide is in. The boat will not crash on the reef. Now, do try to look more neat for dinner. Good afternoon, sir.
Aren't you grateful to Mr. Dane, honey, that he got word to me? So I could come and take you back with me in the boat.
Don't touch me. Keep away from me.
How can you say things like that, honey?
You don't want me. You want the plantation and the money and that woman.
Honey, just by saying things like that proves you ain't well in your mind. That's why I just got to take you back.
Not before we have our dinner, Mr. Bentley.
What are you doing in here?
Two things. One, eavesdropping because I thrive on it. And second, inviting you to dinner. I thrive on that, too.
I'm taking her out of here now.
I don't think so. I'm afraid you have no choice, Mr. Bentley. You like games, Miss Harper? You haven't tasted the roast pheasant, Miss Harper.
I don't care for any.
But you should eat, my child. I've heard you've been ill.
Leave her alone. Hey, sailor, you want that pheasant giblet?
I'll trade you for the neck.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, Mr. Shannon?
The rye bread.
Save me the heel, Slate.
You people have fine appetites. I'm happy for you.
I've got to hand it to you, Charlie. You serve a fine blue plate.
Por favor, senor. How many will there be for dessert?
We shall see. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed my humble board. And now, the pièce de résistance. I give you a game.
Here, here.
Slate, you've been dying to say that ever since you saw that British picture.
A game, ladies and gentlemen, with this revolver I have here in my hand. Russian roulette.
Well, you really are crazy, Charlie. That game can be fatal.
As I told you, it could be. Six chambers in this revolver, but one bullet. Each of you shall spin the chamber, place the gun to your head, pull the trigger.
So help me, Dana.
Hush, sir, hush. Or Prado will shoot you in the back. Now, shall we play so that Prado can signal the cook how many there will be for dessert? You first, Miss Harper. Take the gun. Thank you. Now, spin the chamber. Just so. Of course, you may close your eyes, my dear. I congratulate you. Miss Duval, if you please.
I'll keep my eyes on you, Slate.
All right, sailor.
You'll be with me another day, Miss Duval. I am thankful. Please pass the gun to Mr. Shannon.
Always pass a gun, but first, sailor. Hi, sailor.
I'm thankful, Slate.
Now, please pass the gun to Mr. Bentley.
You're crazy, all of you. I'm not going to have any part of this. You're all of you out of your mind.
Hello.
All right. All right, give me the gun.
I'm pleased, Miss Harper. Mr. Bentley shot himself dead, and it amused you, too. I pronounce the dinner a success. May we have another try tomorrow?
Mr. Dane.
Yes?
I've been waiting for this chance to see you alone.
It sends a delicious thrill through me.
I've never known a man like you.
Of course you haven't, dear one.
I wanted to go on. If you sent Slate away, it could be any way you wanted it. Whatever you...
What a pathetic effort. And ludicrous. To waste your feminine guile so on me.
It didn't do anything to you, huh, Charlie? I must be slipping.
With any other man, you would have had a brilliant triumph. With me, I am a man of small pleasures, Mr. Val. Not you or anything will deny me my childish game. Beat it, dear one. Now it's your turn, Miss Harper. Give her the revolver, Shannon.
Yeah. It's 1 in 6, Judith.
I don't think it matters very much. We all die.
The approaching storm makes you moody, Miss Harper. Play. It will pass. Bravo. Well done. 3 days and you all still survive. However, there is still tomorrow. 4 for dessert, Prado. To work, Mr. Shannon, Miss Duval. Take them out on the reef, Prado.
Si, senor.
You're lagging, Miss Duval. Come, come, those lanterns aren't that heavy.
Why don't you light up your own shipwrecks, Charlie?
Don't worry about your conscience, dear one. It won't be with you very long.
Okay, Prado, take the gun out of my back. I'm walking.
But walk faster. You too, senorita.
I shall wait here and observe. Hurry back, dear ones. I'm desolate without you.
Aquí. Put a lantern here. Bueno. Adelaide. Move.
What a racket this Charlie has. Arranging these lights to make it look like a clear channel.
Aquí. Here. A lantern.
Sailor.
I can't hear you. Speak up.
After we set down the next lantern, slip. Fall. Grab Prado.
You too. No whisper. Here. A lantern.
Give me a hand, Prado.
Si, senorita. My pleasure.
You're wrong, kid. It's mine.
Senor Dane! Senor Dane!
You said the wrong thing, Prado.
Now what?
Now what is? We've got his gun.
What's the matter, Prado? What's wrong? Prado!
Get out of the way, sailor.
Out of the way is in the water.
That's right. Get in it. It's not deep. Just hold on to that rock.
Toto!
Quick, sailor.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to be a hero. Get in that ocean.
Did you get Toto, Shannon?
I got him.
My congratulations, sir. Does it hurt, Shannon? Where? In the stomach? Or did I get you? Oh!
It hurt, didn't it, Charlie, for a time? It doesn't hurt anymore, does it? Sailor!
I heard you cry out when Charlie shot.
What do you do when a bullet creases your skull?
I run to somebody so I can put my head on his shoulder.
Lend me a shoulder, sailor. I got just the head for you.
Lean on me, Slate. I'll see you get home. Look, Slate, a postcard from the rest home on Merino Key. Judith is doing fine.
Yeah, look at the P.S. She wishes we were there.
I guess she figures we need a rest.
You want to go?
I might.
Why don't you? Nothing's keeping you here.
Yes, there is.
Me?
Uh-oh. I'm waiting for the man from the grocery store. I ordered a couple dozen candles in case the lights go out again.
What's the matter? You afraid of the dark? You don't know what to do?
What's to do?
This. That's what's to do. Hey, where are you going?
The fuse box. Something's wrong with these lights.
What's wrong with them? They're on.
That's what's wrong, Slate. Nothing ever happens till the lights go out.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Mutual Broadcasting System presents I Love the Mystery. Carlton Morse adventure thriller,
yeah, it ain't much, but that's where we live.
Well, what's your daughter's name, Jumpin' Dick?
Laurie.
Laurie, huh? You mean L-O-R-R-Y?
L-O-R-R-Y? Well, that's plain ignorance.
It is, huh?
Laurie. L-A-U-R-A.
That's Laurie, huh?
Well, it ain't Kate.
He's got something there, Doc.
Now, just a minute. I think we're getting too far ahead of the maestro and Nasher.
Well, what you keep worrying about them for, Jack? They ain't no skin off our nose.
And besides, we've practically arrived. Just the same, it won't hurt to show a little friendliness. I get a feeling our maestro could be a pretty venomous enemy.
You mean he could bewitch us or something with his mysticism stuff?
Don't talk sense, Doc.
Well, yeah, that does sound kind of silly to me, even at 6 o'clock in the morning. But if his weapon ain't magic, what the heck hurt can he do us? He sure can't chase us in a night. Well, look at him. 300 pounds of pure, unrendered whale blood.
Yeah, fattest man I ever see, or expect to see.
Can't hardly drag 1 foot ahead of the other through this sand.
Can we be of any help, maestro?
How much more of this torture is there?
Just a few yards more. Can we help?
A curse on this desert sand.
Well, we're in the city limits of Bury or Dead now, so the going should be easier.
A curse on Bury or Dead.
Hey, don't say that. Well, the folks in Bury Your Dead is going to feed us and put us up.
Go along with you. Stop annoying me with your silly prattling. Nosh and I will arrive in our own good time.
How you doing, Nosh, honey?
You do not say honey to me.
Why not, sugar?
You do not say sugar to me either.
Why not?
Because maybe if you do, I speak nice. <you. laughs>
Now will you be good?
Come on, let him alone.
Yeah, they seem to like their own company better than ours. Well, looky, Jumping Dick. Tell us more about your little old daughter.
Laurie?
Yeah, that little old Laurie female gal.
Well, there ain't much to tell, except she's had a heap of book education, and she talks of Dad burned citified and purdy. Most folks won't have no truck with her.
You mean your daughter was educated away from Bury Your Dead?
Yeah, I reckon. But again, my will. Why, say, she's so darn stuck up, do you think she'll wear flower sack bloomers like the rest of the women in these parts?
Oh, I say.
No, sir, not Laurie. She's got to have store-bought clothes from top to bottom.
You should be proud of your daughter, Dick.
Well, of course I am. But she's about the most expensive female critter yet. Store-bought clothes underneath where you can't see them. Why, with ideas like that, she'll never get a husband. And shoes.
You don't mean she insists on wearing shoes?
Darned if she don't. Shoes and stockings both.
Well, darned if I don't think you've got a pretty desperate case on your hands, Jumping Dick.
Hey, you ain't in the mood to get married, are
you? Oh! Hey, now, wait a minute.
You ain't, huh?
Well, at least not till I've kind of looked her over.
I mean, say, if you look her over and like what you see, you'll take her off my hands.
Look out, Doc.
What you mean, take her off your hands?
Oh, it's got to be legal.
Legal, huh?
Oh, darn right. I want a marriage ceremony which says right in the contract that once I'm shed of Laurie, I'm shed of her for life.
Well, Jumping Dick, I don't reckon that I'm particularly interested.
Oh, here now, don't go and say that. That ain't fair to Laurie.
It ain't?
No, it ain't. How can you tell you don't want a girl before you've even seen her?
Well, of course I can.
Well, of course you can. Now then, how about branching off up to my place?
Well, not a chance, Dick. We want to get to the boarding house and get some breakfast.
Yeah, but you'll only be a minute. Just one quick look, so Texas here can make up his mind.
You mean a young gal is up and around at 6 in the morning?
No, she ain't up, but you can sort of peek in through the window.
Oh,
that's all right, because there ain't no glass in the window.
Nope, that ain't my way, Dick.
Oh, ain't, huh?
Nope, I like my women on the hoop, especially when I'm trying to judge them for marrying.
Well, I could have her up and dressed.
Dick, what's that building down at the head of the draw there?
That's Dry Gulch Mary's boarding house. As I was saying, I could have her up out of bed with her hair combed in no time.
Hey, Maestro.
Stop yelling at me, will you?
That unpainted building at the head of the draw is the boarding house.
Well, when you get there, tell them to reserve the best room in the place for me.
And how do you like that?
As I was saying, I can get Laurie up and dressed.
Forget your daughter, will you?
But this is the first chance to marry her off.
You're barking up the wrong tree.
What's that?
The doctor is just kidding us. He doesn't want your daughter.
Well, he just said himself he didn't know until he'd seen her.
Doc, for the love of Mike, will you put Dick out of his misery?
Well, I don't know, Jack. If Laura's as pretty as Jumping Dick says she is.
You crazy fool.
That's the way to talk, young fella. Look, you go on over to Dry Gulch Mary's and get your breakfast, and I'll run along home and yank Laura out and have her over there for you to look at. Huh?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Texas, you're the same as married right now. I'll be back quick and you can say snort.
Jack, I'd like to break your neck.
Oh, what the heck? It's all in fun.
Well, you're getting yourself into this. Don't come around asking for help. Come on.
Well, that's very boarding house.
It looks more like a cow barn.
5, 6, 7, 8 shacks. Well, it looks like this is all it is to bury your dead. Just them 8 shacks. Stuck around the slopes of this gulf.
Well, Dick said there were only 19 citizens in the town.
20, until the wolves killed one last night.
Well, that wolf business sounds mighty funny to me.
Yeah, it does, don't it? Man, you sure know you're in the desert. Only 6 o'clock in the morning. Already, it's hot enough to fry eggs.
Well, here we are, such as it is.
Sit on the dilapidated side. Look at that porch.
Looks like your foot would go through it if you stepped on it. Do we knock or just walk in?
Well, let's try knocking. Come on up on the porch. Looks deserted to me. No curtain.
Yeah, look inside. No carpet. Furniture, though. No answer?
Try again.
I hear somebody inside.
Oh, good morning.
Well?
You're Dry Gulch Mary?
That's right.
You have room and board to offer?
I rent rooms, so have grub.
That's fine. How about showing us three rooms with baths, if you have them?
I don't.
Well, then, three connecting rooms.
All my rooms connect.
I say, but they're locked between, of course.
No. What do you want to lock your room for?
Oh, wait a minute. We can settle the details later. Can you show us three rooms, then get us some breakfast?
Let me see the color of your money.
That's fair. How much?
$1 a week apiece for the room.
$1 a week?
Well, if you don't like it, find someplace else to sleep.
No, that's quite all right. That's $3. And how about meals?
50 cents a day for each of you. Take it or leave it.
Doggone, did you hear that, Reggie?
50 cents a day for a week is 3.5. Times 3 is 9. 10.5. You'll feed the three of us for a week for 10.5?
Don't try to jaw me down.
No. And here's the 10.5, and here's the extra $3 for our rooms.
Just lousy with money, ain't you?
No, not exactly.
Hey, you ain't the fellow that killed Alky Joe last night, are you?
I say. Done what?
Killed Alky Joe.
Oh, he must be the fellow that Dick is telling us about.
We understood he was killed by wolves.
Ha! Human wolves. Hey, who's that coming?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Two more customers for you.
They gonna stay here?
Yes, if you have accommodations.
Is he that fat? Or does he just look that way?
No, ma'am, he ain't kidding. He's just as fat as he looks.
Oh, I wonder how he does it. I wish I could get my hogs that fat.
Hey, madam, your attention, please.
What you puffing about?
The sand is difficult for the maestro.
Now, we'll dispense with unnecessary conversation. Madam, I want the best room in your establishment.
Well, you can't have it.
Madam, I demand the best room in
now,
your house.
Now, Juggler, don't you get tough with me.
Huh?
I've got the best room in this house, and I aim to keep it.
Shall I stick a knife in her, maestro?
Hand back.
Hey.
Don't make a move, none of you.
Joe, Jack, did you see that? She throwed a gun on us quicker than a man could have.
Mary, put up that gun.
Tell me how to run my boarding house, but your flea foot tend to feet.
You don't need that gun. No one's going to bother you.
Now, you bet they ain't.
Madam, I misjudged you. My deepest apologies. Show us the best room you have available. It will be plenty good.
Well, now that's more like. Say, what about this girl and the knife?
Nasha.
Yes, my...
Apologize to this good woman.
Madame, I have been impetuous. Please, you will forgive me.
Is she your wife?
No, I will also want a room for Nasha.
That's a lulu of a name, Nasha.
You mind?
It's all right by me, sister.
Then quickly, a room, hot water, and then breakfast.
Let's see the color of your money.
Madam, you question our integrity?
I want $1 apiece from you and the girls. Now that's for the room. Meals is 50 cents apiece a day.
That's quite reasonable. In fact, very reasonable.
Then dish out.
At the end of the week.
Money talk.
My dear madam, filthy lucre is
my
the curse.
So allow me.
What's this?
Well, let me take care of your week's room and board. Here, Mary, I think this is right.
Yes, don't care how you throw money around.
Are you sure you didn't murder Alky Joe?
Quite sure.
Well, you folks just wait here now. I got to go see where I'm going to put y'all.
A peculiar situation. Hey, looky, maestro. Ain't you going to thank Jack for paying you a nicest way?
No thanks is due. The honor of paying my way, as you so crudely put it, is sufficient reward.
You think so, huh?
You are privileged. You can say they helped the maestro in an emergency.
Well, of all the ornery... Hey, what about you, Nasha? Ain't you grateful?
Why should I be grateful? It is you who should be grateful.
Yeah?
Grateful you have been allowed to live.
Grateful we've been allowed to live?
That is true. Have you forgot the wolves?
Hey, what you talking about?
Wait until tonight when the wolves come. Then you will see.
Thank you.
The further transcribed adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie will come to you tomorrow at this same hour. I Love a Mystery, written and directed by Carlton E. Morse, comes to you Monday through Friday, featuring Russell Thorson as Jack, Jim Bowles as Doc Long, and Tony Randall as Reggie York. Frank McCarthy speaking. Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Sailor, let go of the wheel for a minute.
Why?
So you can pinch me.
What else could a girl ask for? Happy slave?
Ah, when I die, this is the way I want to live.
Yeah. The two of us on your boat, sailing the Caribbean Sea. Southern wind kissing your cheek. Me pinching you.
Who's talking about that?
There's something else to talk about?
Yeah. Fish.
Okay. What'll we discuss? Guppies or flounders?
Ah, look at him, sailor. Did you ever in your life see a beauty like that? That marlin, what a beauty. What a fight he gave me. Must weigh 300 pounds.
300 pounds? How come I can lift him? And with one hand?
What do I know about the talents of weightlifters? I tell you, that marlin... Hey.
See what happens when you talk like that? Even boat motors can't take it. They start to die.
I don't understand it. She's been running like a dream. Here, grab the wheel, sailor. I'll take a look.
What's wrong, Slade?
Sounds like dirt in the fuel line. Choke it, sailor. Give it the choke.
Think you can nurse it along till we get back to Havana?
No, I'll have to clean it out.
Maybe we can get some help.
Sure, we just dip a chubby little hand into the sea and bring up a mermaid mechanic.
We could do that. Or we could hail that catch drifting off our port bow in the cove there.
What?
I can make a name. Golden Swan. What do you say, Slade? Shall I hail her?
In between chokes, sailor. Who knows? She might lay an egg with a clean fuel line in it.
Ahoy! Golden Swan, ahoy! Ahoy! You try, Slate. My siren call isn't doing anything to them.
Roll up the cuffs on your jeans. Show an ankle. That'll get them.
Golden Swan, ahoy! It didn't work, Slate, and I rolled up both cuffs.
Here, watch me. Ahoy, Golden Swan, ahoy! Hey, that's funny. No one on deck, not a sign of movement.
After you roll down your pants leg, what do we do?
We board her. They don't treat me like that.
Hold my hand, Slate. I've never walked through a ghost ship before.
Eerie, isn't it?
The other hand. This one's got a stalk of celery stuffed with Roquefort I swiped off the captain's table.
Catch riding off an uncharted key without a soul aboard. Who's going to miss a stalk of celery?
The way that table was set, like a banquet. Hors d'oeuvres, chicken under glass. Who walks away from things like that?
Not you, baby. Enjoy your chicken sandwich?
Yummy.
I don't understand it. Not even a dead man aboard.
He's complaining.
Come on, sailor. There's something about a deserted ship that brings out the lonely in me.
Maybe we could tow her back. Finders keepers, you know.
No, I don't want her. She's too rich for my blood. Come on.
That
Hey, my boy, my boy, my boy.
Cut it out, will you?
Oh, now, Johnny boy, lad, don't take it to heart.
Try it, Captain. Pick yourself a palm tree, lean against it, and enjoy the night. Just leave me alone.
You don't like me. Captain Carey isn't good enough for you. He talks too loud. His hands aren't soft and pink like yours, eh? Now, let me tell you, Johnny, lad.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Forget it.
Forget it, Johnny says to me. No, 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 I can't do that. No, no, boy. Something like you and me he's got. It's something Captain Carey's been looking for. A long time looking.
Look, Captain, maybe there's another way.
Yes, indeed, there is. But I have to tell you, John boy, I'm not happy with you. And by this time now, your wife is supposed to be dead. You promised, lad. Hey, what's your wife doing now, Johnny?
In her hotel room, I guess. Sleeping. Margaret likes to sleep.
Margaret Norman, a sleeper. In a fancy hotel room on silken sheets, I'd say. Why didn't your wife show up today? Why didn't you bring her to the Golden Swan?
I told you, she was tired. She didn't want to look at it.
Didn't want to look at it, the lad says to me. So we had to hide the boat till another time. Kill her another time at another place.
Now look, Captain,
and
please.
And the thing I don't like, those people who boarded my ship.
But they looked, they went away.
Aye, they looked and they went away. Then other boats came and tried to find the Golden Swan. Yeah, lucky we are to have found this cove to hide her. Calm water, she'll just drift there. And lucky
yeah,
we are.
Yeah, we're lucky fellas.
Yes, indeed we are. To have such confidence, you and me, each in the other. And we're fortunate. Now, the final item, lad. Here.
What do I want with a gun?
Why, lad, but for a thing. Kill your wife with it.
You're crazy.
Be I now? Go on, take it. Hey, take it home with you, John.
You're going to sit here and wait?
Oh, lad, you're such a child. Listen, John, two people came to my boat today in a power cruiser. Its name I saw was Bold Venture through my glasses. And I must seek them out. Tell them how lucky they are still alive. Tell them it might not be so the next time.
Come on, sailor. We're not making a dent in the brain of the inspector of police.
Oh, don't grow impatient, senor. My brain is your brain. Make dents to your heart's content.
Your brain is his brain, huh, policeman? That explains why Slate's been suspicious of me ever since we came off that catch. He can't believe that all I swiped was a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that's why.
You have brought to me, perhaps, a slice of this chicken? What was it? White meat or dark meat?
Eat your heart out, kid. It was with pickle relish.
It is not that I have a tooth for chicken, senor. It is only that this would be a slice of evidence that you indeed saw a ghost ship. The Golden Swan, you called her?
Because it was the name painted on her transom in big gold letters. What would you have called her?
And you did not tow this ghostly ghost ship in?
We told you why. A fuel line was fouled up.
In the approximate hour that you have been here, you two, I've had my harbor police combing the waters.
You're going to say all they came up with was sea dandruff.
I would if I could have thought of it. I was going to say my harbor police found no trace of a catch, the Golden Swan.
Maybe she drifted out to sea. She was there, LaSalle. We walked her deck, spied into her cabin.
I think you do not need police, senori, senorita. I think you need a psychiatrist. Let me recommend mine. Here, his card.
He's good, huh?
For people who see ghost ships, he's a dilly? Si, a dilly. Amuse yourselves, amigos. And please, stay away from me. I've got enough crazy already. Go away.
How much longer are we going to have to wait?
How do I know?
Just seems to me that the registry office ought to have a better system. What do they do? File data about ghost ships on ectoplasm?
What are you so impatient about? Here comes Senor Mercado now.
My apologies, Senor Shannon. Senorita Duval. I have kept you waiting too long.
Now, what did you find out about the Golden Swan?
The Golden Swan. Owned and capitan by one Capitan Carey. And, Senor, I whisper this in your ear of this Capitan Carey. Bad. Nothing but bad. Suspicion there has been of him.
Like what?
Two ships of the Capitan blew up in port. One in Macau, another in Montevideo. Insurance was collected. However, the two words have been whispered.
What two words?
Skull and doggery.
That goes without saying. Now, about the Golden Swan.
Of this, I know nothing. It has not been reported in these waters. That is all I can tell you.
That's enough. Come on, sailor. Sailor, how come a ship we saw and the cops didn't see and is never reported and...
Which way to the registry, mate?
Oh, in there.
Hey, don't I know you?
Yeah, what makes you think you do?
Sure I know you, lad. A shipmate once on the Golden Swan.
Oh, the Golden Swan, huh? When were we shipmates?
Oh, that old death ship, the Golden Swan. Oh, you see her again, mate. Keep away from her. Take it from an old shipmate.
You trying to tell me something, old shipmate of mine?
I said it.
Now look, Buster.
My boy. Remember the old days? Old me, handy with the shiv, the knife and the ribs? Sure you remember. So remember about the swan. Keep away from her. Goodbye, my boy.
It's been a happy day, hasn't it, Slate?
Yeah, it makes me tingle when an old salt points a shiv at me.
All he did was carve his initials in your pea jacket.
Yeah, but on the lapel.
Let's leave it like that, huh, Slate? Like two ordinary people living a humdrum existence.
How come we see things no one else does, sailor? How can complete strangers stick knives into us?
We're talented. I'll get it.
I'll get it. Grab your darning needle. Start being humdrum. Shannon's place. Slate Shannon speaking.
Mercado speaking. I know something, senor.
Goody. Been a nice chat. Goodbye.
I know that only this minute my mouth is talking to a lady. A lady of fragrance who wished to buy the catch Golden Swan. She wanted to know if the title was clear.
What lady? Where?
The Senora Margaret Norman at the Palace Hotel. Her perfume was...
Put up your thimble, sailor. We're calling on a lady of fragrance.
I'm telling you, mister, you can't go in there. That's Mrs. Norman's suite, and she...
Yeah, I know. She left orders not to be disturbed.
So make a snappy right turn, walk down the hall, turn right, turn left, and then you go through the door to the... Did you say something, miss?
No. It was the man on this $5 bill talking. Have you ever noticed what a real old chatterbox he is?
Well, what do you know? Mrs. Norman left the door unlocked. Thanks a lot, chums.
Mrs. Norman. Try the bedroom, sailor.
All right. Mrs. Norman, I'm sorry to wake you up like this, but... Slate, come here, quick.
What's the matter?
Look at her. She's been shot.
One person who could have given us an answer, sailor. Something tells me that's why it happened to her. That's why she's dead.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
A catch there was that sailed the seas, lately drifted around the Caribbees, seen by Miss Sailor and Slade Shannon. Then in a twinkle, boat seen by no one. Then come a lady to registry, who owned Golden Swan, so asked she. Then she returned to her bed, perhaps she is tired. Come person with gun, lady expired.
Por favor, Senor Slate. I have come to ask questions, not to hear music.
King Moses answered all your questions, Inspector LaSalle.
Rhymed him, too.
Thank you, Miss Sailor. However, in the case of a lady who has been murdered, it is not always easy.
I think you did very well.
My father before me, Señor LaSalle Sr., who was also of the police, took me upon his knees and told me that on certain days, the career of the police is sometimes for the birds.
I can make up a song about a bird, Señor LaSalle. I will give it to you.
No, por favor, no.
Have you figured out a motive for this killing, LaSalle?
Si. The person who killed Señora Norman was a thief. The Señor Norman revealed that jewelry of great value is unaccounted for. Therefore, missing.
So, there's a Señor Norman. What about him?
If you are being evil, Shannon, to think that he killed his wife, the answer is impossible.
Her husband doesn't have a trigger finger?
Two of them. However, he is accounted for at the time of the murder. Too far away from the scene of the crime. Discussing business with a Señor Capitan Carey. We checked with this Capitan Carey.
Captain Carey. Now, that's a name that brings back a memory.
Just for the record, LaSalle, what does this Carey look like?
Heavy set, big all over. This way and this way. Beaten with the weather. Not too much hair, but down to his knuckles with tattoos.
Something tells me I've seen those knuckles clutching a knife. Think your minions can find him again?
It is important to do so, Señor.
Yeah, it's important, and I'll help. The captain was Norman's alibi. Let's see how much Norman will cover for the captain.
Who is it?
Slate Shannon, Mr. Norman, with a friend.
That's telling him.
Go away, get out.
That's no way to talk, Mr. Norman.
I told you, get out.
Inside, Mr. Norman.
What do you want with me? You're working with the police?
Mr. Norman. This is Slate's private project.
Well, I told them I didn't kill her. I didn't kill Margaret, and I don't know who did. A beating won't make me know either.
You don't understand, kid. That's not the project. All I want from you is an old shipmate of mine, Captain Carey.
Captain Carey? All I know about him is he owns the catch I wanted my wife to buy for me. That's what we were talking about on the other side of Havana when Margaret was murdered.
And you wouldn't remember where that is.
No. Not even if you...
I know. Not even if I beat you. You're in for a disappointment, kid. I'm not going to beat you. Let's go, sailor.
I admire you, John boy. I do indeed.
Thanks. I kill my wife, robber. I get admiration from a guy like you.
Oh, but a drop in the bucket, these gems, compared with all your wife's wealth, eh, my boy? The money you figured to get?
Yes, skeds and skeds of it. One thing, Captain. It's going to take a little while for Margaret's will to be probated, for her estate to be transferred to me.
I should get restless waiting, John boy. I have what I need, this jewelry.
What are you talking about?
An idea of something worthy, lad. I don't trust you, Johnny. A thief who kills a woman is never trusted, didn't you know?
Hey, now look. Look.
Hey, now look, John says to me. Yeah, eventually the police will get onto you. And you'll be naming me. Won't you, boy?
No, Captain, no.
It has to happen, John. Oh! Sleep, lad. While it happens to you. Adrift in the Golden Swan. Dead. In time, you will explode.
Come on, sailor, on your feet.
Slate, we've already looked in every waterfront hole in Havana for Captain Carey. How far can you go on a crummy vendetta?
Till one of us drops, me or him.
Well, you take it alone this time, Slate. I'll stay here at the hotel to rest my weary jeans. I'll get it. Shannon's place, Sailor Duval.
Inspector LaSalle, senorita. We have found Captain Carey.
Don't you lay a finger to him. He's Slate's. It's LaSalle. He's found your boy.
Hey, give me that phone. Where? Where is he, LaSalle?
In my office. He laughs in my face and tells me how he does not know where is Senor Johnny Norman. He says...
Maybe he'll tell me, LaSalle. Just hold him there. Bye, sailor.
You kidding? I'm going with you.
LaSalle, All I need is 10 minutes alone with him. We fellows of the sea have a language all our own.
And in this language, you will bring me the whereabouts of Johnny Norman?
That too.
I have just put a new grass rug on the floor in that room where he is. Be nice to it.
Maybe I can get him to wear it for a skirt.
Well, if it isn't the sailor boy, Slate Shannon. You come to help an old shipmate in distress?
Yeah. It helps, doesn't it, Carey?
It clears the head. You're the man to my liking, Shannon. None of that lily-fingered laddie.
That shiv, where'd you point it, Carey?
Here? No, a little higher. Nearer the heart.
You're sharper with the knife, shipmate. You unconscious, Carey? If you are, I'll hate myself in the morning.
Hey, what makes your blood boil so, lad? What is it your brain's drooling for?
I already got what I want. When I'm running an errand for a policeman, they want Norman. They want a murderer.
All right, they can have him. I'm weary of the lad.
Where?
On the Golden Swan, 2 miles off of Dugo Key. Is there anything else your seaman's heart needs?
Now that you mention it. So I'll hate myself in the morning.
Now you really ought to check with your psychiatrist, Inspector LaSalle. You're walking on the deck of a ghost ship. Do you believe it?
See, I believe it.
Okay, Captain. Where's the cargo? What'd you do with Johnny Norman?
He's living the good life, lad, in my cabin. Here. When I left, the boy was learning a sad sea chanty and singing it for his poor dead widow. Hey, it's in here. John, boy. What are you doing lying on the floor, boy?
Senor Norman is dead from a large caliber bullet.
Is that what you do when you get tired of a buddy, Captain? Give him large caliber bullets?
I tell you, Slate boy, I don't know what happened to him. I'm as surprised as anyone here.
I'm not surprised.
The thing's mysterious aboard my ship. Take the dead boy and let's leave it.
Well, what's your hurry, Captain?
Well, it's my ship. I said get off it.
You know, Slate, the captain didn't want to come out to the ship in the first place. I wonder why.
Yeah, a fellow might think the ship was going to blow up in his face.
What are you saying, Shannon?
Our captain boy's got a history. Rumor has it he time-bombed 2 ships. One in Macau, one in Montevideo.
That is an interesting...
Slate, watch him.
I've already got it, dear girl. My gun. Waiting for me in my desk drawer.
The same one with which you killed Senor Norman?
You'll never know. Don't be a fool, you know, but I will. You... Oh, Shannon, help me.
Yeah. Hold him, LaSalle.
You're a fool, policeman. Get off my arm.
He'll do that. Did he get you, LaSalle?
See, here in my shoulder. Finish it for me, Slate.
Now don't stand there, sailor. Give LaSalle a hand.
Here, put your arm around me.
Gracias.
Sit down here.
On your feet, Captain. Come on your feet.
We've got to get off the boat, lad.
Yeah, how much time do we have, Carey?
I don't know. Not much. None, maybe. I think we should get off the boat, lad.
Now, just take it easy. I want to give LaSalle your confession. Who killed Mrs. Norman?
John Boy did it. I swear it.
Did you help him?
We'd better get off the boat.
John wanted his wife to buy him this boat. He was going to show it to her, wasn't he? Then somehow he'd leave her alone on it, and it'd go off. Is that why we saw the Golden Swan floating around, Captain?
I'm warning you, lad. Off the boat.
Where's the time bomb hidden?
It's going to go off soon.
Who killed Johnny?
I'll tell you ashore, lad.
I want a confession. Sailor's my witness.
Hi. LaSalle's fainted, Slate.
Got a cigarette, sailor?
Sure. I'll light it for you. Here.
Thanks.
Slate, what's all this business about we're going to get blown up?
That's a trick the captain has.
Listen. The bomb's in the hold. An alarm clock wired to dynamite, strung to the ceiling a little after the engine.
Well, that's a nice place.
Very.
Get it for the love of me.
Oh, there's lots of time.
No, lad, there isn't. There's 10 sticks of dynamite.
Who killed Johnny?
Get the bomb.
Who killed him?
I did.
Let's go, Captain. Get the bomb.
We'll be too late. It'll blow up.
Make him hurry, sir.
Come on.
There it is.
Get it. Tear out the wires, Captain.
Yes. It's done.
Yeah, me too.
Sailor.
Uh-huh.
If I ever get brave like that again, wire me to 10 sticks of dynamite and set me off for 10 o'clock.
Slate?
Yeah?
I just got a call from the hospital. The Sal's going to be all right.
Oh, that's fine. Sailor, take a walk on the beach?
Uh-uh. Not tonight.
Oh, this is a new sailor. What makes tonight different?
Who needs walking on the beach?
Okay. Bye.
Bye? Where are you going?
I got a standing date with a hat check girl at the El Nido. We walk together between hats.
That's nice. Bye. Well, aren't you going?
Come here. You just want to be begged, don't you? Bye, sailor.
Slate! Slate, come back here. Check your hat, mister. Check your hat. Oh, Slate. You weren't going to leave me, were you?
Check this beret, sailor. Your floor show's great.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Have a good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwick from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby.